Seems I've read this passage from Mark a week or so ago. Preparation to try to say something sensible. I immediately thought of a new phenomenon in the church. I doubt there are many people in this room who have ever heard of the phrase the kappa manya. I don't know whether that resonates with anybody in this room. It's part of the cardinalatial haberdasher's equipment. It is an 18-foot long watered silk train that is worn by, or can be worn by, cardinals. Pius XII had reduced it to 10 feet, or 8 feet, I forget which. It's been restored, however. There's a stunning photograph of the Cardinal Secretary of State, Bertone, flouncing into Westminster Cathedral in London, wearing this thing. And of course he had to have kids holding the train up because it was so bloody long. And then, I don't know what the papal closet looks like, but the present Pope has gone back to the 16th century to revive a chasuble that was worn by the Medici Pope, I think Leo X, had it retailored for himself. You can imagine, as a Medici, he would not be wearing rags. And then he had refurbished another headpiece as well. And then here is Mark talking about the scribes who like to walk around in long robes, greeted with respect, to take the best seats in the synagogues. Well, if anybody goes to the next bishop's dinner here in London or any diocese in the world where you pay more to sit closer to the presence. What's wrong with this? There's something I think most people hear this stuff and say, what in the world is going on? What is objectionable about that? I mean, is it just gaudiness for the sake of gaudiness? No. It's the fact that these clothes separate the haves from the have-nots, basically. That's the problem. And how are you going to approach a guy wearing the kappa manya? Or this Renaissance finery? Seems to me they're essentially calculated precisely to diminish everybody around them. To create distances, in other words. This is kind of a whimsical thing, but I have a very hard time imagining Jesus wearing the kappa manya or a Medici chasuble. Why? He was not into show? No. Because it separates him from other people. That's the problem. We have all this majestic vesture, you know. We get this over and over and over, and we seem, I don't know how in God's name, we can do this with a straight face. And then, of course, there's a kind of echo of this in this story about the widow's mite, the famous widow's mite. What's going on there? Exactly the same thing. Jesus could see through the Bill Gates and the Warren Buffetts of his world, who could give away billions of dollars. And they do, and I'm glad they do. I'm glad there are fewer AIDS cases and malaria cases in Africa by dint of their beneficence. But you can be absolutely certain that neither Gates' kids nor Buffett's kids are going to grow up poor. problem is exactly the same. Except we get a slightly different angle. The beauty of this man Jesus, which I've come to appreciate more and more, is that he knew what was going on. I mean, I am dazzled by the thought of somebody giving away billions of dollars. It's breathtaking. But the fact is that Jesus could see what this woman did was more important than all the billions Buffett or Gates or anybody else. Donald Trump, I don't know that he gives away anything. Does. It's just clear-sightedness. This awareness that this woman wanted to share her life absolutely, the last money she had to live on, with everybody in adorning the temple. It's a simple message, you know, it's a simple message. But we are dazzled, we are mystified, we are blinded so often by what we inappropriately understand as generosity. And that's really crucial. Jesus saw what was going on. He knew this lady. I mean, he saw the shape she was in. He saw the clothes she was wearing. He saw what she put in the collection plate. And knew that this was a greater beneficence than all these other people. Out of their abundance gave. She didn't give out of her abundance. She gave out of her basic neediness. And yet she gave. So we continue to create kapamanias in one form or another in the church and say to the world what? That Donald Trump is a greater model of what it is to be a good citizen than Dorothy Day, for example. Well, it's not so. And the astringency of the gospel is to kind of clarify our vision. To help us to see what's really going on. What's really going on. What's really at stake. What's really in play. What is the reality of the situation. And all of the frou-frou and falderal and glorifications we attribute to the wealthy, you know, is misplaced.